You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and sharing your passion. My name is Dennis Trufin. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about breaking through imposter syndrome for creators on YouTube. I also got with me here, George.
Yeah, I'm George, and I'm here to support Dennis and his vision to create passive income on YouTube.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Trufin.
I'm really excited today because one of the things that happened very recently was in our academy, which we help other content creators on YouTube get to a sustainable place in their careers to be able to create the things that they want. One of our members hit a really, really big milestone, and it was 1,000 subscribers, and that's a really, really big milestone.
Yeah, well, and looking at it, it doesn't seem like a lot, right? You have people on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, having 1,000 subscribers, but on YouTube, that's actually very significant.
Yeah, it's so interesting because getting to 100 subscribers, if you're not asking your mom to subscribe to your YouTube channel, can get pretty difficult. It's actually, I would say the hardest one to hit is that first 100 because there's a lot of things going on, and actually it's going to go really well with our conversation today. And then that 1,000 subscriber marker is really, really difficult as well too. There's a lot of like mind games that kind of come up for yourself, as well as, you know, even for other people, because we talked about it before, where subscriber count is more of a vanity number and there's still good utility for it. And it's not the most important metric that we pay attention to, but we do celebrate it, right? Like, we do want to celebrate people's wins for something like that, because there is a lot of work that comes with it. I would say, I think for this creator, when they joined our academy, they were around like 600 subscribers. And so we helped them get over that 1,000 in a shorter time than where they were kind of projected to go. And but what was beautiful is that, like, one, we made like a little like certificate for them, celebrated with them, cheered them on. I was actually following in real time, like when they were gaining, like they were at 994, 995. Like, I was just, it was an exciting moment because I remember those feelings of getting to that point. And yes, to some people it might not seem like a lot, while also at the same time, if you're in the, I would say, the grind of it, it is. It is a lot. It's a lot of people. You know, if you got 1,000 people in front of you, you would probably get pretty nervous in general. So I think hitting that milestone also just continues to move them forward. Plus, we've talked about it in previous episodes, that actually hitting that 1,000 subscribers plus the 4,000 hours of watch time, which they already had, gain them access to monetization through ad revenue on YouTube, which I think they got it like the very next day after hitting that number.
Yeah.
Which was pretty crazy. And they started making money. And I think, did I tell you what happened?
No.
So his first day, he made $1.51.
Oh, you did? I know where you go with this now.
Which is really funny, because my very first paycheck, once like I got my ad revenue going back in 2017, my first paycheck actually came in January of 2018. And that was a check for $151. So like just the numbers kind of worked out really well for me supporting somebody. And then like their first day of earnings came out to 151. So that was really exciting. And, you know, I think those kind of celebrations are really important because, you know, I know sometimes for some people, they're like, well, that's only 1,000 for me, but like they want to be modest about it. I'm like, no, don't be modest. Like, you did a really hard thing and let's celebrate you.
Well, and we were all there at some point, right? Well,
and that's a really big point to make. And yes, there's going to be the outliers that like blew past that in like 2 seconds, right? So, but for most of us, it's that journey that takes us there. The number one YouTuber on the platform right now, his name is Mr. Beast.
Yep.
And I can't remember exactly how many videos it took him and how long it took him to get to his first like 100 or like the 1,000, but it was a lot. Like, people get shocked, and I should probably start memorizing that number, because it is pretty daunting to see where he's at now versus like how long it took him to even just kind of get momentum going. But it was that persistence that obviously helped him get there.
Correct. And everybody forgets of like, oh, I see you now where you're getting 100,000 views, million views, whatever it is. But it's like, how long did it take me to get here? Right. And most YouTubers, most musicians, artists, whatever you want to call it, it's like, no, you didn't see me the years of work beforehand. I mean, even comedians, right? Most of them, they get burnt out, right? before they are about to hit that ceiling and surpass it. I mean, that's a whole other episode, right? Is just the burnout and what that looks like, because we've all been it.
Yeah. And it happens to the best of us and all of us, honestly, for that matter as well too. So yeah, I'm excited to continue to celebrate that and, you know, have other members hit that milestone in our group and our academy, which if you're interested in it, we'll have links for it in the show notes down below. You can learn more about it, where we help people create ranked videos for long-term growth and passive income on YouTube. And now I'm just excited for him to hit 10K because it's just going to be another really cool milestone for him to hit, and we'll have a surprise for him when he does that.
Oh yeah, I already know we've talked about it, but again, now that he's passed that first ceiling, right, he should be able to get to that 10,000.
Oh yeah,
quicker than what he got to the 1,000.
Yeah, he's gonna definitely have that momentum on his side, and it's not linear, right? It's gonna be, you know, really good growth long term for him, and so it's gonna be exciting to share that one day as well too.
Yeah,
and we'll make sure we bring that up on the podcast too when he hits that, and you know the journey that he took on that space as well too. Now, real quick, because we're gonna get into the full episode here today, let's quickly go into our fire segment.
Yes,
which is somebody who's focused, inspiring, and radiating energy. These are people that I just kind of like run into in social media space, and I see what they're doing, and I see similar attributes that I had in the process. So there's this guy, it's like Easy Cat or something like that, Easy Cat, and he talks about like board games, which I actually do love board games. We actually have some behind us here in the studio, and he's just sharing his like love and passion for board games, teaching people like what games to go with based off of like what they've played in the past and just like all of these other spaces. And I can definitely see him. I believe he's already doing it full time, but I think it's incredible. Again, just that we live in this world where you could talk about your favorite passions and be making money doing it.
Yeah, turn your passion into passive income, right? But I think it's hilarious because I know you tried that. Right.
Oh, with board games?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I still actually make money off of that channel. I didn't want to say channel, but yeah, I have multiple YouTube channels that I run, and sometimes I see that shiny ball syndrome kind of thing and add stuff to my plate. Although I was able to set it up in a way that I still get people purchasing stuff from my Amazon affiliate link.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, so I actually still make money off of that channel, even though there's like 150 people on that channel.
Hey, and it's board games.
Right? Well, maybe we'll talk about that in a future episode and dive deeper, giving you a little bit of mystery while like kind of building up to that with these weekly episodes. So
yeah.
All right, let's get started with the show.
Let's dive in.
Okay, so we are going to be talking about breaking through imposter syndrome for creators on YouTube.
Yes.
Now, George, what's the definition for imposter syndrome?
So it's clarifying imposter syndrome. It's highlighting feelings or self-doubt, right? It's fear of being exposed as a fraud, right? I feel like we've all had that to some degree, right? Whether it's, you know, in a family setting, whether it's at work or whatever it is, but this is really heightened when you're talking about YouTube or a influencer, so to speak, right? And Dennis, that I think this is going to be great because you've had this.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And it still comes up. Every now and again.
Yeah, show me a content creator and I'll show you a person who's dealt with imposter syndrome. I think it's seldom that would not come up for people. And I think that's why this episode is so important to have this conversation, because the feelings of imposter syndrome, like you said, it's, you know, inadequacy, self-doubt, being exposed, I think is the biggest one.
Yeah.
And we'll break that down in my story here as well, too, because especially in the space that I'm in finance with one of my channels, and now I'm also into business. And so like there's definitely avenues that people run down, and you know, depending on what you're going to be talking about and like what you are sharing, those feelings of exposure come into play pretty heavily, I would say. And especially like the fraud part of it as well too. Like there's that feeling of like you're not being real. Even if you did know the things that you do know, that's really tough. But like, why do creators feel this way? But also like, it's interesting because I ran into people who haven't started a YouTube channel and already feel imposter syndrome. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I actually think that's probably, you're on the right track if you're already kind of having those feelings even before you get started. And there's a big thing about this is because you do have unique pressures as a content creator that you might not have in other avenues, especially if you work for like a company and you're kind of like in a team.
Yeah.
Because usually with YouTube, you're starting off on your own. You're going to have what I would consider like public scrutiny because people can see everything you're doing. They can see like the comments that are left on your channel. They can see a lot of those areas. And being in the social space, you know, there's a lot of difficulties with individuals, I would say, is the kind word when it comes to like people like fighting on against each other or like bad mouthing each other. And I wouldn't say that it's actually as common on YouTube. There are obviously people who speak negatively in the comment sections and stuff, but it's hard when you might already be having these self-doubts on whatever topic you're talking about. And then somebody leaves a comment that kind of like validates that feeling or that thought. And so it's tough, right? Like if you're feeling worried about how you're presenting yourself on the information and then somebody validates that, it's like a clash in there. And then it generally will lead people to like not want to continue to do it because the hate can be strong.
Well, and you're constantly on a platform, right? Yeah. Like, so to speak.
Yeah. And you're showing up all the time. And, you know, we like to share here that one of my favorite quotes is that I have 720 plus versions of myself working for me all day, every day. There's bound to be somebody who thinks that what I'm talking about isn't real or fake or
doesn't fit what they were looking for or
the information being right. Like I've had plenty of people say that like my information's wrong. And that's actually like we can get into my story here. And I would say that that's kind of been the biggest thing for me, which was I started off on YouTube talking about personal finance. And when you talk about personal finance, I mean, funny enough, it's personal.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not telling you what to do or, you know, how to do things. I'm just sharing with you my journey and my avenue. And, you know, did I get things wrong? Even like factually? Probably. I would say, yes, I did.
It happens.
You know, either A, if I could do it in post-production to change things up or like in the comment section or even have to redo the videos, that would definitely be the case.
Yeah.
But I never had any ill intent to be wrong or to misshare information.
Correct.
So it did make it hard because there were times, and especially when I started getting more into the investing side of things, because that gets really complex. And there's
gray areas.
There's a gray area with, you know, feeling like an imposter, like you don't actually even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And even to this day, I would say that some of those feelings can still come up where, you know, I'm sitting there sharing my experience and what I know to be correct, right? Like I do my due diligence very detailed in this context, but like that doesn't mean things can't go, you know, unchecked or missing, but like that's not the intent. And so, you know, I would get comments and people sharing like, oh, you know, this is wrong or this is not the way to do it. And so it was hard because then I felt like I'm an imposter. Like I don't belong here is effectively what I felt like. And I think that's a feeling that most people would generally feel like is like feeling like they don't belong in this space. Like they don't deserve to have the platform, so to speak. And I think that's hard because it's already a difficult job, I would say, to get started on YouTube, especially if you're on your own and don't have a lot of funds to kind of take things off your plate, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so with being that feeling of imposter, it makes us want to not show up and fearful, I think, of showing up as who we are. And then there's, I think, another element to it as well, which is not just the, am I saying things correctly? Am I giving the correct information? There's also this imposter syndrome of there's other people out there that are doing it better than I am.
Oh, there's so much comparison.
Yeah.
So much comparison.
You know, and this falls into it as well. And I was very guilty of this for a long time as well. And I actually see it in a lot of people too when I talk to them because the feeling of imposter syndrome, like I said, yeah, there's two sides to that. It's the inadequate when it comes to like the information you're sharing or if you're even correct about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes it's one of those things like when you don't know what you don't know. And then once you start learning about it, you're like, wow, I really don't know what I don't know. And then there's that other side, which is, the feeling of like, well, there's other people doing it. They're doing it better than I am. Like, why would people care about what I'm doing? Like all of these different things that come up. And, you know, I think for most people, it is that feeling of like unworthy, I would say, to some capacity, because I think this is so true. I think everybody is worthy of being able to share their story and how they see whatever avenue they're sharing, right? Whether it's finance, whether it's crocheting, whether it's, you know, talking about board games, like your way of seeing those things is unique.
Yeah.
I truly, truly believe that. And I think there's enough space for everybody. I don't think any niche that you would want to get into is oversaturated. I think if you are truthful in who you are, being authentic in the way you show up, that you could break into any niche and be able to have a foothold in that, because you're not taking away typically from other people. You're just expanding the opportunity for more people to find it, because things happen where I usually like to say, like, people are going to hear you in a different tone than others and might prefer you versus them.
Yep.
B, you might just be an addition to how people gain this information, right? Like for me, for example, even though I'm already in personal finance, I like watching a lot of financial channels.
Yeah.
And so I'll watch like similar stories about like certain news from companies because I just like to hear different people's perspectives.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not taking away from one person and going to another. A lot of times I'm just like, it's an addition to. And yeah, it's like also who knows how long some of those people are going to stay on the platform. Sometimes they end up leaving. Maybe they have different preferences. Maybe their interests change over time and somebody else takes that place. Right. And that happens in all areas. Like if you look at, you know, actors and actresses and like all these things, like there's somebody famous, but then eventually somebody else becomes potentially more famous because the other person either stepped out of the limelight, maybe he's gotten older, whatever the case may be. Like there's room for other people in this space. And so I think for myself, when I was getting started, it was much of that same thing where I was like, well, there's other people already talking about personal finance. Well, there's other people already talking about like how much, you know, they're earning on their business or all these other things that I wanted to talk about. And then as I kept sharing, I realized that I had a special voice in how I perceived the world.
Yeah.
And that it was important. And I think it helped other people that maybe didn't resonate as much with, you know, person, you know, A, B, or C, but they resonated a lot more with me. And that's not being an imposter. That's me being able to fight the idea that I'm somehow not worth other people's attention. If it's not me being exactly the same as the person who also presented as well. So like, you know, if I just sat there and I copied and pasted what another person said, which sometimes people do that because they get really like nervous about it.
Yeah.
Then yeah, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm being an imposter at that point. But if I'm being authentic with like saying, hey, I'm paying extra towards my mortgage and then everybody gets mad at me for it because that's not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay. But I'm not being an imposter. I'm being
authentic. You're being genuine.
I'm being genuine in myself. Being an imposter for me would be telling people things that I don't think to be true for myself. Right. Yeah. And opinions can change and thoughts can change. And like we go through those motions. But I think for myself included, going through that journey of, you know, am I worth sharing my story? Am I worth doing this? I'm glad I was able to overcome a lot of those things. And obviously, like I said, I still run into it from time to time. But I think everybody's worth being able to share their story and their journey in whatever passion you have.
Well, in just looking at it, it's we have 7 to 8 billion people in this world, mm-hmm. right? So you're telling me out of that many people, they there's people out there that don't want to hear how you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yes, there will be a portion of them that, okay, I don't resonate with them. But there's also a portion of them that will actually resonate better with you than with me or with you, yeah. right? Like, and that's also key because there will be a lot of comparison. There will be a lot of, you know, imposter syndrome, which bleeds into the like insecurities, mm-hmm. right? Of ourselves, like, oh, should I be doing this? And, but that person gets more views because they do it better in XYZ.
Oh, they have better hair or they have a better setup. They have better XYZ. Sometimes people don't care about that stuff.
No.
Sometimes people just want the good value. And if you're the one giving them that good value, and like you said, like, look at it from your own perspective too, right? Like if you're on YouTube or you're on any other social media platform, like pay attention to, you know, maybe some of the people in that space that you like watching content around that maybe you don't prefer. Not that you hate them or something like that, but maybe they're just their voice or maybe it's the way they present the information yeah. that you just don't resonate with them. But there's other creators that you do resonate with. Like it, like we do that inherently as well to the creators where we would gravitate towards the people who we like more. And it's generally not saying that we hate other people.
Yeah.
It's just more of like, hey, this is my guy when it comes to learning about, you know, board games. And that's the person I want to go listen to when it comes to the rules of these board games, because he explains it to me so much better. But to another person, it could just be noise and like chalkboard because
white
of the
noise.
way he like kind of explains it. So just kind of like those areas there. And I think when it comes to, you know, imposter syndrome, there's a hold up on our creativity.
Yeah.
There's a hold up on our just abilities to just like be productive, you know. And I think with imposter syndrome, it holds us from, you know, the ability to create that content that leads us to releasing stuff, right? Uh-huh. Because if we're feeling these things, a lot of times we let it like fester up for a long time. And I like to say when things stick in our head that they get bigger than when we say them out loud. So
yeah.
I remember one time where I was creating content and around just regular personal finance. And there was like frugality was like a big theme recently at that point. And I think it was like 2018. And I had some other colleagues in that financial space and they were also doing frugal content as well because it was a hot topic.
It's your guys' niche. Like,
yeah. And so a friend and I made very similar videos. We actually talked about it beforehand about like, hey, we should make this content. And his video blew up and mine didn't.
Oof.
And it
that
was,
hurt me a little bit for you.
Yeah, like, I think, and we were small channels at the time, and he got to like 100,000 views, and like, I think mine got to like maybe 1,500 views. And it, that was hard because the imposter syndrome kind of sunk in for me of like, oh, you know, why did he get so many more views than I did? Is his video content like,
yeah,
like all these questions started coming up. And it was really cool because instead of just like keeping it to myself, I did share that with my partner.
Yeah.
And was saying, hey, like, this is how I'm feeling. I'm feeling defeated. Like, I'm feeling like I'm not good enough, right? Like, I feel like an imposter if he's able to now do this. And she's like, all right, cool. Well, let's watch the videos and let's like compare. Like, what is he doing that's different than yours? And, you know, this was actually kind of funny because it gets a little mechanical here. When we kind of did the comparison, and I'm not saying this was exactly why his blew up, but it took me like 3 minutes to get into the topic of the video where it took him like 40 seconds. Now, he didn't do it intentionally. He just kind of like naturally was still learning the process of YouTube.
Yeah.
But he definitely had a much, much better structure for that video.
Yeah, than you did.
Than I did. And better thumbnail, better title. And I think all of those accumulated together and allowed him to have such a successful video, where my video, not saying it was a bad video, I think it was still a great video, it didn't have all the elements altogether. And sometimes even when you do have all the elements, it doesn't still take off. And that's kind of one of the great lessons of being on YouTube, was that it's like the 80-20 rule. 80% of your videos are probably going to just be like okay videos, and then 20% are going to be the ones that generate all the views and whatnot for your channel.
Yeah.
And obviously I didn't know that at the time. So for me, it was just more of that imposter syndrome of feeling like I'm not good enough in comparison to somebody who was kind of in the same level as I was. You know, lucky to say that I definitely overcame that imposter syndrome, obviously, to continue making content.
Yeah.
Still great friends with the guy as well, too. Never saw that as anything more than he produced something better than I did. And
yeah,
he resonated with more people than I did. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like I get to be accepting of that as well, too, because he's a great content creator as well. And you know, he's also somebody who kind of does what he wants full time as well now, because of the passive income that he's created with YouTube as well. So it's just kind of a fun intertwine there with imposter syndrome. But I think for most, the inability to create the content, because I think it took me a while to get over that, if I'm not mistaken, to be able to make more content because of that, like those feelings. So I would say that if we can recognize the imposter syndrome coming up, maybe have conversations with people around us. I think there is
your support system.
That support system can help you in that process, right? Whether you're like in a Facebook community, whether you're in like our academy and you share these things, like we have that support in the sense of like letting people like air out their grievances sometimes, right? Like kind of like fill the bucket of like, hey, this kind of sucks. And we're like, yeah, that definitely does suck. Cool. All right. Now what are we going to work on next? Because we don't want to have that hold us back from creating more content. Because we know, statistically speaking, that when you kind of move past that and create more content, regardless of like the results from one video to the next, that you will end up moving forward and having really good results long term.
Well, and again, tell me who hasn't failed at something, right? And didn't try to take and learn the best parts of it and then add that to the next thing, right? You took that into consideration when you made your next video of like, okay, it took me 3 minutes to get into it. What do I need to do to help that, right? Like, and that's part of, that could be why you're also here now, right? Is, okay, instead of taking that and sitting with it and being like, okay, maybe YouTube isn't for me, you sat with it and then like, okay, how can I do better to make the impact that I want to make and make this a passive income?
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is like, how long am I going to let it fester up, right? And I would probably say at that point, because it was so early on in my career, it was something that maybe took up more time than it needed to. And so like when it comes up for me at this point nowadays, you know, I don't want to say like squash it, like it wasn't important. Like I recognize when imposter syndrome comes up for me, but then I'm like, okay, yes, and like, let's move forward. Like I don't want this to hold me back so much that it causes me not to take action. And because I'm being intentional with it, right? That if I am making mistakes, it's they're honest mistakes, and I get to continue to learn from them. And so for me, I'm just like, if I'm having those feelings, like, okay, what's coming up for me? Why am I feeling this? Is it lack of information? Well, guess what? I can go learn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's lack of confidence, okay, well, what can I do to be brave about
before
that?
You go, before you hit record.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, you know, so like, you know, am I comparing? Am I judging? Right. Like if judgment comes up for me, then I'm like, okay, what is it about judgment? am I judging this content creator on how they're doing so well with their content being lower quality than mine? Well, that's a judgment call.
Yeah.
So I get to catch myself in those things and say, okay, well, I'm only truly competing against myself. I'm not competing against anybody else. So when those things come up, I stop them, right? And I'm like, I get it. It's not easy. It's a lot of work. Yeah. And it's also really considering like, how long am I going to let this just like sit around and
fester,
fester and not let me get the work done that's going to make impact.
Yeah. Well, and again, if you look back of when you stopped or could have stopped then, how many people would you not have impacted today?
Right. Wild.
Yeah. Right. And you said he's still creating content. He's also still reaching others.
Yeah.
Just as much as you are.
Yeah. He's actually, I think he's actually not doing as much financial content because that's where we were connected with. I think he's doing something else, but like his financial content allows him to do that other stuff, which is,
yeah,
again, one of my favorite things. But I think a really important aspect of this as well too is really focusing on the progress, right?
Yeah.
It's celebrating the small wins, you know, being aware of those things, like, right, when you're saying, hey, I caught myself having this imposter syndrome, and instead of letting it go for a week, I only let it go for 3 days. That's correct. A massive win. Like, that is a huge win in my eyes personally, if you're working towards that. It's the parts where we let it fester up longer and more, you know, as time goes on, because then we're not improving ourselves. We're not doing the Kaizen method of 1% improvement over time.
Correct. Well, in speaking of, like, you know, learning from your failures and things like that, is I think we get into our own heads when, oh, this video failed, so I'm a failure.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, no, you're not. The video failed. What, it doesn't make you as a whole person.
Yeah. Failure, you're not the, right? It's like the sum of all your parts, right? Like,
correct.
That kind of way to look at it. And I mean, you and I have this whole conversation, and we'll definitely want to do a whole episode on failure. I think actually we have one
queued up.
Yeah, we have episodes like scheduled. I'm so excited to constantly talk about all these topics when it comes to YouTube, because it's my jam, if you can't tell. But yeah, like the whole thing with failure, man, like I think for me, I have learned to embrace failure as a means to move forward faster.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like just a very quick example, and this is not necessarily about the imposter syndrome, but it was about our work, where, you know, you're talking to brands about doing some sponsorship deals. And I'm just like, I was like kind of having you come back and like share with me like what you've learned. And I'm like, okay, what did you fail in? Like, how did you fail? And you're like, Dennis, I didn't fail. Like, we had a great conversation. And I'm like, no,
yeah,
I need failures. I want you to tell me that this brand had like no interest in talking to you, and that you like messed up all your structure of how you wanted to share things, because I think that failure allows us to move forward faster. And I think with imposter syndrome, that we think that other people are not failing, and that is the complete opposite. Like, I cannot tell you how many times I've seen some really big creators that I've been either chatting with or have worked with before, where I got to see their failures firsthand. And I think it was the most incredible process, because it's the perseverance that to me that like shines through the most. And there's a really good friend of mine who she does amazing work on pretty much all the socials now. So she's like a lawyer. She talks about finance, and, you know, she had some struggles at some points in her growth, particularly on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, the imposter syndrome of like everybody else is growing, but my content's not. And I just saw her persist, like move past those and have the conversations, share with us what she was thinking. And now she's actually one of the biggest content creators out there. And I think it's like the most incredible thing. And it's inspiring more than it is anything else. I don't see anything in that context of like, oh, well, her imposter syndrome like held her back. If anything, she didn't let her imposter syndrome hold her back for more than like a conversation or two, and then move forward with it, because she knew what the bigger picture was.
Well, I think you just summed it up really well, right? Is, okay, imposter syndrome is real. So let that sink in, right? Don't just overlook it, because it's also very real, right? But also look at the progress and what you can be doing once you get past that. And then who's your support system to help you get through it?
Right? Yeah. I mean, and it definitely, the support system is a huge part of it. You know, I share a lot of times I had a mastermind that I put together back in the day, and that definitely was a huge support. That's where I actually met a lot of these people that I sometimes share about. Nowadays I have the Academy, which, you know, we support everybody in that process because we understand it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really helpful. And funny enough, I've had imposter syndrome about the Academy as well. And that's just being truthful about it, because I was like, well, there's other content creators out there that do have academies that do teach people how to do YouTube. And I was like, well, if they're already doing it, like, Am I worthy of it? And I was like, no, it's
happening right now. Yeah.
I was like, I see it so different. Like, I see YouTube on the numbers, like analytically different than so many other content creators or people that teach how to do YouTube. And so they're not saying that they're wrong or like bad. I think actually they do it really well in their space. I just know that also for me, how I see YouTube and how I approach it is in a way that is impactful for the people that want to achieve a certain style of doing YouTube, which is long-term creating passive income, creating a life that you want to live that's enjoyable, that you're not stressing about creating content day in and day out because you have to, rather it's because you want to.
Well, you just saying that reminded me and stick with me with this one, right? Is it's very much like the diets, right? Oh, there's keto, there's this, there's the carnivore diet, but not all of them work for everybody.
No.
Right? So it's the same concept.
Yeah. So, but I got to work through that because I got to catch myself, right? And then that was a really important aspect too, is that like imposter syndrome doesn't actually go away. It just looks different as you get better at it, managing with it, because it's not letting it again fester up. Like if I thought about that with my academy and then I didn't create it, I wouldn't be actually making this podcast, sharing this information with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's powerful, right? Like don't let yourself hold yourself back. Yeah. We're our worst enemies. Mm-hmm. And what does it look like to have people in a space that hold you high, that like call that out and then let you continue to do the amazing work that you're meant to do, whether it's impacting people, whether it's teaching people, whether it's entertaining people, all of those things are going to be very powerful and really impactful for them.
Yeah. It's just embracing that, right? And just, and we'll chat about this, is slightly off topic, but it still goes with the imposter syndrome, is starting my business and coming and helping you and helping other businesses. I've been questioned so much of like, yeah, but what makes you think you can do that? And I'm like, bro, I don't know.
It's like it's the audacity.
Yeah,
it's the audacity is what's gonna allow you to achieve really big things in your life.
Yeah, but it's very real and it happens in your inner circles the most.
Yeah, that's the hardest part when you have imposter syndrome and then people are validating that.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times when people are validating that, it's usually something coming from their own space, because you can share with me what you're doing. And to me, I'm like, yes, bro, like, let's go. Let's have you like do the hard work to get where you want to be in your life. And somebody else can be like, you're risking too much.
Correct.
Right. And it's all perspective. That's why going back into this, it's like, I think it's important to really like dig in and like pay attention, but then know that like you don't want it to hold you back.
Yeah. Cause it will creep up, right? It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't go away, but how you handle it, how quickly you handle it, and every time it comes up, your perspective of it shifts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I would say a good thing would be, if you don't want to share with anybody out loud at the moment, journal it. Yes. I think journaling is going to be a really good option for people, or if you truly can, like share it out loud, either in Facebook groups, or if you're part of our academy or wanting to join our academy, you can share with us those things that come up, and then we can always support as well too.
Yeah.
So George, imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome. There's more that will go with it, but I feel like that really sums it up.
Yeah. So we're going to have obviously new episodes coming out every week. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast here, wherever you get your podcast from, as well as if you want to leave a review for us as well too on like Spotify. That does definitely help us out. We want to reach more people to have bigger impact, so that way we can help everyone achieve their goals with having freedom in their time, their money,
and their work. Love it.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Have a good one.
Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize. Again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.